and for the love and respect we offer to all. In times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Dajjami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Dajjami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and again, may it be so. Sangam Sarana Dashami, Dhyampi Tapiampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order of guidance. Again and again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dear God, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nibbana, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and ageshall. All formations are subject to suffering. Do that. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching the Sangha. Homage to all who follow and establish the holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that anticipates solution. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all ascension beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, well, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityapi tapiapi sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are
here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything I experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so that we can drop that and end suffering.
Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to the public donors. What shall we look at this morning?
Well, I had come to something this morning I'd like to just look at a little more.
Okay.
And I caught myself in this conversation that circles around frequently. Mm-hmm. And it's, as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to make my case to stop doing this particular activity because I'm terrible at it. You know, can't they see? I just. And the great thing about that monastery is there's not an opportunity to veer away from things that we feel we're not good at. Like, mm-hmm. And prior to monastic life, if I felt like I wasn't mm-hmm. good at something, I would just do everything.
Just rearrange your life?
I rearrange my life around yeah. that. It's like, I'm not volunteering for that. I'm terrible at
yeah.
it.
Yeah, which is, you know, don't forget where you're going, but what's so interesting is that's how it's framed, isn't it? It's just, I'll just rearrange things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense, mm-hmm. I mean, right? I'm not very good at it. Without seeing that what's really happening is my life is getting smaller.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these other people that are great at this and not, you know, it's like, and so, yeah, so there's so much in that. First of all, you know, I'm kind of dissing life to think that there's something that life is not good at.
Yeah.
And that this whole, you know, and this whole belief around what, you know, this being said by conditioning, what good looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, you know, often hearing that we have there's a way that we express life that is uniquely
uniquely
Sequoia. Sequoia, okay. So, and I thought there's no belief that, well, however life wants to live Sequoia is going to be easy for her.
Yeah.
You know? It's just going to be one of those things that just flows.
Yeah.
She's going to know, because, oh, yeah, that's easy for me, so that's the way life expresses.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just never saw that before.
Wow. That's so huge.
It is.
Yeah. So it's so funny, isn't it? Because it's like conditioning taking what seems so, which is that life lives through each of us uniquely,
mm-hmm.
and perverting it to So what that means is, and this is all unsaid, it's under the radar screen, otherwise it would catch our attention, what it means is, the things that are easy for me, and that I can see that I'm good at, that's how life
is. That's how life is.
And everything else is to be avoided.
Right. And then that way, I'm working in, working with life, and this is the beginning of seeing all of that, and it's like, and then considering running toward resistance, and, so it's just rise, it gives rise to these questions about, what is it that I have been veered away from and under the guise of you're not good at that, don't go there. And what might be on the other side of that, or what might not even on the other side of it. I mean, what might even be in the being with that experience of doing something, quote, I'm not good at
it. Right. Because if the process is the outcome,
yeah.
then the process that we're in when we're in that avoiding is a process of avoiding. And so essentially what we get is avoiding our lives. But if we're in the process of what the heck, right, and whatever life calls to me, I'm willing for, then we're in this glorious process of willingness.
And trusting, if you're saying, and trusting that if there's something that life doesn't want.
Exactly.
to use this human form, that information will probably, be delivered or, right.
Yes, I was saying that earlier too, that it's that place of, at least for me, when I look at it, it's the illusion of control, right? That I want to be in charge of but if life is asking me, you started out by saying, making that case for, let's talk about this because clearly I'm not good at this, I shouldn't be. And yet, if that were actually the case, if life didn't want that as Sequoia, then that information would arrive.
Yeah.
Right?
In some form other than this constant conversation. What's going on about? I'm stuck at that.
Right.
What,
Right. Yeah. So we can completely relax. Wow, it's such a courageous, even generous place, isn't it? To completely relax and do the thing that life is asking us to do, especially when we're being told I'm not good at
it.
So be willing to give everything we've got to it.
Yeah.
And if someone says to us, Sequoia, I'm not going to have you do that anymore. Oh, okay.
And then not take that personally.
Not take it personally.
And, if you're saying that too, it's like, and maybe it's like this gift that I can't even see to do something less than skillfully. I mean, it's such an awful thing to be around people that are doing everything perfectly.
And when we see someone, you see, videos that go around, go viral, that have that theme, someone who we can project is doing something that's really challenging for them in some way, and yet they're completely willing to do it. It's so inspiring.
It is so inspiring.
And don't we all sit there and just root for them like crazy with no standards or judgments or criticisms?
Yeah, and it's that place of 100% participation with it that we root for.
Yeah.
Exactly. If there's that element of self-consciousness, I'm not really good at this, then we're just like, it's painful.
Yeah.
But if someone is just doing it 100%,
And yet, even that, if we can, who knows what's really going on with the other person, right? But if we project that place of self-consciousness, very often what comes from that is a deep compassion, right?
Yeah.
Because we can see what they're up against.
So anyway, I just appreciate that. The insight this morning
So really fun place, to realize that, great, all the gifts and talents that do come easily to us and that we do readily enjoy, and to really enjoy those, and to realize there's so much richness in all the places that the resistance arises. And one of the things that you were saying is, gosh, the opportunity to go straight into those.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, processing the process of going.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I was looking at something this morning that's not exactly that, but it's related.
Mm-hmm.
And it was inspired by, I don't know if people have had a chance to look at the Monastery newsletter yet, but the little video that Sherry posted in her comments from the guide about, and it was a way of illustrating the offering part of Anjali, emptying the teacup. And I was looking at it because it dovetailed with something I was at yesterday where people were doing some strategic planning and saying, well, we want to have this, and in order to have this, then we need these things. And that means these people, we all need to step up and do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that there was less participation when it got to, and who's going to do these things?
Everyone agrees with
that. Great vision. Yeah, you guys go.
And,
yeah, great.
And I agreed to some things that would not be things that I would feel like would be my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to do them because of my commitment to what it is we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I was connecting that up with the idea of offering is that it felt like the place I was coming from when I said yes to those was that place of I'm just offering. I don't know what it's going to take from me to do that.
Mm.
I'm not even sure I can,
right?
Because it's a lot of time and I don't have a lot of time.
Right.
But it feels like if it doesn't come from that place, if it comes from, okay, or I'll do it if I have to, or seeing it as a task rather than an offering, that then it would be hard to step up in a way, you know? If it's just one more thing on my to-do list, then I can see why people wouldn't want to do that.
Right.
Even I wouldn't want to do it if it's just one more thing on my to-do list. But when it comes from that place of, here's something that life is putting out, something that's dear to my heart, then there's the response, there's the offering.
Yeah. So it feels not what I have.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so to remind myself that what I want to bring to that is not so much the time and the skill level and the need for some kind of approval, but to bring that sense of offering to it.
Exactly. Yeah, and your point is so important about the what can often happen is, so here are all these opportunities, who's going to take them? And then what we're committing to do is to check in, just like the boy was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, am I good at that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And do I have the time? How's it going to go? And can I picture it? And that we look to the imaginary future to see whether or not that's something that's really going to work.
Right.
And what are we looking to?
Right. Yeah.
And so very often the answer is no, unless those few things that meet that little criteria, I like it, I'm good at it, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And that's who I am,
right.
And so those I can choose.
Right.
And so guess what? We're mirrored in the same ways over
that's
and over.
Right.
No one ever reinforces identity.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's that place that we learn of to say yes.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't have to know, am I going to be good at that? I don't have to know even how I'm going to be able to do it, or if I'm going to be able to do it. Because what we figure is, if I say yes, and there's some significant life roadblock, like, again, like the boy was playing again, then I guess don't think I'll want
to. That's right. Yeah, you know, when you said, you know, we look to the future to see how we might look. Actually, we're not. We're looking to the past.
Right.
To see whether, how it looked like before.
Right.
And we go, oh, no, that didn't work very well.
No, I'm not good at that. No.
Right. Yeah. But I really, I was appreciating that reminder of the word offering as a way of being. You know, so it's not, I'm actually not offering my time or my skills. I'm offering the life that force that is in this being.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like life is calling to life and life is saying yes.
Right.
Yeah. And then figuring, if that's so, then life will be the winner.
That's right. That's right. Then it's not, right. It's not up to
not
me.
Not up to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Good night. I'm super grateful this morning for practice.
Yeah.
I just feel spoiled this morning.
Spoiled.
I feel spoiled this morning.
Spoiled by so much practice.
Yeah, yeah. And such a great, such so great to just surrender to it.
Uh-huh.
Because conditioning wouldn't let me do it, you know, if it got to be in charge.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great image. So grateful to just have the willingness to surrender to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if conditioning were in charge, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
As much practice we would get.
Yeah, as much as I got to do today, actually, and it's only like 10. So. and it seemed to be a theme, also with people getting a lot of resistance to some practice things this morning, and so just really grateful that it sort of changed my energy completely to super excited, and you know, just I can just feel the. I don't know, something going, the life force going through my body, you know, it's just such a change.
That's what we receive in that surrender.
And I was looking at not what but how quite a bit, and looking at bringing my life into practice more. And it gets labeled that I forget, but I don't think it is forgetting now that I'm really looking at it. I think it's direction of attention. And when our attention is with conditioning, then it's not forgetting, it's just our attention's with conditioning. You know, like, if you're in that dark room and you just don't know there's a light room.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because all of the attention is in the dark room.
Right. And what I was noticing with it was, with conditioning, is how it's always pointing out everything that's wrong with whatever's going on, or whatever decision gets made, or you know, whatever your life circumstance is at that time, is telling you it should be something different, and there's something wrong, everything that's wrong with it, you know, and it continually talks to me about these things.
Right,
you know?
Right. So wherever you are, conditioning is talking about how it's wrong, and it shouldn't be that way, and it should be this other way.
And if I'm not paying attention, then I just believe it and, you know, get identified and suffer and have no energy and feel dreadful and all these things.
Right. That's a perfect description of what it's like to simply, to not be an awareness.
Yes.
That the identification is there. In other words, what ego is telling me seems to be so, then it is my reality.
Yes. And so, there's this thing that I want to do, and my heart wants to do it, and conditioning becomes the nag about it, right? You know, it takes it over, kind of, and it starts to say, well, you haven't done that yet, and you should be doing this, and blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as it happens, it talks the other side of it.
Sure.
Immediately, like, now it's like, well, look at what you're giving up. You shouldn't have done that. What are you going to do about that? You know, just all of this immediate something wrong with whatever decision gets made or thing that happens that life brings in. And it's just crazy.
It could just be a panicking. Because it's like, once it gets on the should list, for most humans, that's guaranteed it's never going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So this thing comes up, very often something from life, right? And then, so there's some whatever, enthusiasm for it or whatever. But the way that ego takes it over is, well, you should do that. You have to do that. Why aren't you doing that? Come on, do that, right? So, I mean, it's darn sure, well, that's a lock. She's never going to do it. And then you do it, and it's like, uh-oh.
Exactly.
Right? She actually did it.
Exactly.
Look at what you have to give up to do nothing. I mean, it has to quickly go to the other side.
Exactly. And so I've just really been looking at ways to support myself to not go there.
Yes.
And when I'm not with Sangha,
you
know, or when I'm alone, so to speak, you know, and that's where, or with when I'm with a person who's not in Sangha or on a job or, you know, and Sherry keeps saying to me sometimes, and it's funny because I laugh every time she says it. She goes, well, you're a facilitator. Why don't you facilitate them? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And so I've been really looking at that going, okay, so I can be a facilitator in all of my life, like with myself when I'm alone, with other people.
Yeah.
And that's such a huge shift.
Huge.
Because then it goes, otherwise it goes into the victim and, you know, being conditioning's in charge then. Mm-hmm. And there's this other relationship, you know. Right. With
and it's real, and I am who I am, and they are who they are, and I know how things are, and it shouldn't be this way, and it should be different. And so, but from that facilitation place, by definition, awareness is all in all of it. No matter what it is, even as all of those things cycle through, the should, the what you're giving up, the victim, the anything can cycle through. I mean, that's why it's such a place of freedom. If we don't have to try to control the life experience, we don't have to try to control the conversation in the head. We don't have to, you know, ego can do whatever ego is going to do. And it's just like, you know, you come to the facilitate group. You have no idea what people are going to talk about, right? Anything could come into the room. So it's completely fine. It doesn't matter. We don't have to swipe that as a facilitator. Because we're not trying to get anywhere. We're not doing anything. We're simply facilitating. Same exact thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the way you put that. We're just there offering whatever life.
Not taking it personally. Willing to be with whatever it is. Because the facilitation position is there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong.
Wow.
Yeah. So what could you say or do that wouldn't fit here? Nothing.
There's nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas the other conversation is
everything's wrong.
And it's going to point out everything that's wrong.
If it's momentarily right, it's only to get us on board to go straight back to wrong.
Yeah. And so the thing that ego says about that is that people who aren't practicing, you can't interact with that way. And that, you know, something's going to, if you don't be who you are, something's going to go really wrong, which is conditioning again, right? Because of course it's going to go wrong. Cool. And so it's this lack of trust, in a sense. And so... there's two aspects of that I'm seeing right now, and that is the one of supporting, so to be in this place of excitement all the time and energy and enthusiasm and, you know, the light room, you know, oh, happy, blessed day room. And then to stay there with recording and listening and, you know, when you don't, I mean, I would love to be in group 24/7, right? You know, when I'm sleeping, when I'm, you know, or maybe we could be somehow, I don't know. But to be recording and listening, you know, or something to support you and all these things, there's that piece of it, and then there's also being with other people.
Yeah.
And so facilitating reflective listening. So I'm just going to be practicing with that and looking at it.
Yeah. So when you said, you know, happy blessed day, what also dropped in was, oh, happy blessed opportunity. Right? And then there could be a way that there's some lightness brought to the, you know, because what we have to see is, oh, happy blessed day, and that enthusiasm is a big place. It's not just the place of, I love everything that's going on.
No. Right? Yes.
It's a big place. So there I am, oh, happy blessed day, and then something comes along that pulls, you know, pushes that karmic button.
Yes.
You know, okay, oh, happy, blessed opportunity.
Nothing's wrong.
You know, whatever reaction is going on internally, externally, nothing's wrong. It's completely all right. Because it takes me a little bit back to Sequoia's point, where very easily the belief could be, okay, so now I'm going to facilitate, you know, everywhere, everything, everyone in my life, and so that's going to make it easy.
Not
easy. You make it not.
Right.
Right?
Easy does not mean presence.
Yeah.
Or attention or awareness. Or
That, you know, especially as we interact with folks in our lives, you know, when we talk about this all the time, if in a interpersonal dynamic, one person starts to change, that can shake things up. You know? But if we can stay with that in presence, in that nothing wrong, very often things will shift. And it can feel difficult for a while, But when we stay in presence, mm-hmm. it's all held in presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a huge point that you're talking about. So uncomfortable is okay, or even painful at times, to not stay with the karma, not stay with the conditioning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But in our heart, that's what we know we truly want. And it sure seems to me that ultimately that's what everyone wants.
Mm-hmm.
And if we stay in that place of presence and model that, very often, it's what we see everyone responds to.
Yeah, and so the easy times are when you wake up in the morning and you have that sense of dread, you can grab the recorder and record.
Mm-hmm.
Easy,
Really
one way of dealing with it and practicing with it. The other way is when you get triggered and something really gets set off in terms of a karmic process.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, a huge amount of suffering, I would say,
mm-hmm.
to say, oh, happy, blessed opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and look to see what awareness you can bring to it, how you can practice with it.
Yeah.
Use everything in our experience.
To see
how
it helps us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because then we're in that place of anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is it all right, but it's for my benefit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the place where karma ends.
Yes.
Yeah. Said a different way. Where anything can happen, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Yeah.
All of us.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, and we the earlier conversation where we were talking about doing things that we like and that we're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking around in this room and in this building. This room and this building would not be here, period, if that's the way we operated.
Wow.
With people doing what they're good at and what they know how to do, because this place was built mostly by people who never did anything like it at all before.
Well, and even the main building technique of Ramp Earth, that very few people, period, knew very much about it.
Yeah.
That there was a pioneering kind of a deal.
Yeah.
There wasn't Google and, let me see how to do Ramp Earth.
Right. Yeah, I sort of forgot about that part, but that was a big, getting these walls up was huge.
Yeah, literally.
And time consuming and muscle.
Yeah. Well, when you go out to the west end of the property and see the forms that were used for the concrete for the arches in the archway. Wow.
Yeah. Now that wasn't done by. Yeah.
But there they are. I mean, just things where I was actually just listening to a recording, maybe it was this morning, it's funny, about the property and, the fact that it's sort of recording from, not that I made it, I was hearing from when the meditation tent had just been put up. So nothing was here.
Uh-huh.
Nothing.
Yep.
And so, if people had sat around, back to what Mickey was saying, and thought, let's see, can we build a building that's, X square feet, and then this is there'll be a kitchen, and we'll have an industrial stove, and then there'll be like 20 outbuildings. Oh my God, forget it. I gotta go to bed right now. There's no way. We can't do that.
Uh-huh.
We don't know how. We don't have the money. It's gonna take forever. No.
Yeah. Just one thing at a time. I mean, even just digging the trenches for the foundation of this was incredible. But everybody who participated had the willingness, or, you kind of had to. That's what the working meditation was for.
Right, because it was our practice.
Yeah. And there was one guy who was staying here who was a woodworker. Thank God.
The windows and the doors and the...
Well, I, got assigned to be his helper on making the windows. And that was like, really, I don't know anything about any of it. These power tools and things that had to make all these little grooves and connecting it all with glue. And it was real scary at first, but I had an affinity to wood, and so I was drawn to it. Mm-hmm. But it was like, but just working with this person every day for a long time, started to, you know, get familiar with the tools and the techniques and stuff, so that when the windows were all done and we needed to make the window sills, the woodworker was no longer on site. And so
just who got the nod.
Yeah. And then that was another scary place. Yeah. But then it was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so complete novices did a lot of the plumbing. Just incredible. Yeah.
Wow. So this physical place of practice being a perfect manifestation of that place, of people being willing to simply step forward and say, yes, even with the fear, even with the voice, even with the conversation, okay, that's what life is asking for us. And at deeper and deeper levels, you know, at first you were someone's assistant, so there he was to teach you the skills, and then it came to a place where you were it. You know, there wasn't the cool guy first, not site. You were the person that life was calling to do this, okay? So there's the next level, the willingness to say yes to that. And then the benefits that you get from that, and the benefits to all. I mean, you're the physical manifestation of that.
And just the learning that message, because I got taught that too, that you didn't do something that you didn't know how to do. You had to go to school, or somebody had to teach you to do it. You just didn't go out and start doing it. And that the message that, gosh, we're so much more adequate than we have any idea. And we don't have to be boxed into the little box that says, you know how to do this, and that's as far as you get to go.
Yeah, forgetting that, that's where all of it came from. I remember our yoga teacher saying years ago, you know, any system of movement, yoga, Pilates, whatever, was just someone looking to their own experience at a really deep level, creating that.
Right.
That's true of everything.
Right.
You know, so you go to school to learn woodworking, well, where did that all come from?
Yeah, and then there's the kind of more global skills that you learn from that to just look.
Yeah, exactly.
What's needed?
Yeah.
How can I do it?
Yeah.
And so
it's turning directly to the intelligence that animates each of us.
Yeah. So it's just grand, you know, to be in a place that sort of forces us to go up against those fears and step beyond them to see what's possible.
Yeah. Because it's so hard to do that for ourselves, isn't it?
It is,
like,
because
you can't tickle yourself, right?
Yeah.
The willingness to put ourselves in a position that we know is going to require that of us.
Yeah, because it seems just like it makes perfect sense not to do something that I don't know how to do. I might hurt myself.
Right.
I might ruin some materials that somebody had to buy.
Right.
And, you know, no, I can't do that.
Just irresponsible.
Yeah, just irresponsible. Yeah.
Thank you.
Karen. That was really fun to listen to. Just very inspiring. I wish I was here back then.
Well, you were this morning, weren't you? Do you know?
No.
In other words, we're having this experience right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? But that's another great that it does to us. Like, oh, if only I'd been there. Wait. But I just was.
Yeah.
Right? We're having an experience right now.
That's just so much fun. And it really is, it has such a wide application, like has been talked about. So I was just going to report in and
I don't think it ties into that, but maybe into the facilitation, or I think it ties into the facilitation conversation. And so this week, well, I've been here a week now, and it was sort of a shock to the system, many systems.
Yeah.
And but about midweek, I remember when I was here 2 years ago that there had been this there was guidance every day in part of how the program was offered then.
Mm-hmm.
And I really miss that because you know that it was just so neat to have that daily check-in. And so that occurred to me midweek that I could make an appointment and have that guidance every day. So that's what I've been doing, is going back and making sure that visiting monk gets that guidance appointment every day, and it's even at the same time. it's been so helpful because, well, one of the things is that I happen to have the recorder of that month when I was here.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, and that visiting monk really paved the way for this visiting monk.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Because that visiting monk had a ton of resistance the first week and a half. I mean, she was just a tortured soul 2 years ago, and then as she worked through that, she could talk about that and just go into that resistance and don't even think about it. Just, you know, walk that razor's edge. Don't think about it. Just do it because you're going to come out at the other end of it. And so that's been really fun because she, on so many levels, paved the way for this.
So here, hearing some of those recordings and really seeing her go through that first week and half of resistance, but being willing to stay with it, knowing that she's going to get through it, and that she really paved the way for the person who's doing the visiting monk program now.
Yeah, and so I didn't have to suffer over that.
Uh-huh.
This time, whereas 2 years ago she did.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a mess.
So the same kind of thing happening. Some, you know, it's all the system is shaken up, and maybe some we call resistance, whatever's going on. And 2 years ago, that was the source of suffering. This time, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just that's what's going on.
And then just one little thing that I just. That was so great is that 2 years ago, I just within the first, I think by Tuesday night, I think I arrived on a Saturday, and by Tuesday night my back was just killing me 2 years ago, and then it got better. So by a week and a half, it was no longer a problem, and it dropped in that it was from. I hadn't been used to supporting my back.
Yes.
You know, I lean against couches and chairs and all
sure.
that. So
sure.
for the past 2 years, I have, in my work, I would sit on a little rolling stool, and prior to that, I would roll it and I would lean against the wall while I was talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But for the past 2 years, I have not done that. I would touch it. Oh, no. And, you know, put it out. And I was practicing.
Yeah.
And I thought I was coming here last year, but circumstances didn't allow that.
Yeah.
And so I kept it up because, okay, I'm coming this year.
Yeah.
And I think it's something I'll always have to practice, or I'm going to be really miserable. And it's harder to stay present when with a barricade, with a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just reporting in.
I mean, it's so applicable to everything, what you're describing. Because even just that place of noticing, because I'm guessing that's a real habit, right?
Yeah.
So there you'd be sitting on the stool and to lean back, and it's such an awareness practice. Oh, wait, sit up. Mm-hmm. You don't want to sit up. And then wanting to sit up to support Karen in being able to have a strong back so that she can have her best opportunity to be present.
Yeah.
In this place that, you know, in this opportunity that she was really on.
Yeah.
You know, what a great deal of care in that whole thing.
Well, and not only that, it was a way, I mean, this is my job, mm-hmm. and which I'm no longer doing to that level now, but it would bring practice, you know, like when I remembered that, and it was every single person during the day,
yeah.
You know, all day long, and it would just, it was like, you know, and all of a sudden it would be, it would ground me in
yeah.
practice mm-hmm. to do that.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to report yeah. that because that felt like
that
a big
yeah.
success for me.
Huge success.
Yeah.
Huge success. And such a great place of, you know, conditioning would want us to get, you know, to a place where, okay, now I can metaphorically or literally, now I can go ahead and lean against the wall because I'm finished with that or whatever. And yet what I hear you saying is, gosh, I'm not always practicing that because the benefits of that are for me and they're deep and they're, you know, I get to be here, I get to be grounded. It supports the body, it supports all of practice, it supports who I'm interacting with. I always want to practice that. And that's a great benefit, right? It can be that sense of like, gosh, when can I be done with this? Well, never. I don't want to be done with this.
Yeah. Well, if I want to participate the way that I'd like to participate, I can't ever. I'm always going to be having to tend to
yeah.
those sorts of things, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a way of taking care of
yeah.
taking care of so
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we learn to love that process of taking
yeah.
care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I'm making this change
mm-hmm.
and it's funny. I know life is, it's that thing I know life is calling you, but the language it uses for me is, well, it's not really you.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's clear, you know.
It's not really calling you?
Well, it's not really me, like the thing it's calling me to.
Uh-huh.
You know, who I really am is someone who does this thing.
Okay.
But
okay.
this, you know, this isn't really, but I mean, it's clear. It's like I'm getting a note, you know.
Right.
It's not, life has given me the note.
Right.
And keeps giving them, you know. It's like, if there's anything I could wheedle out of it, we would.
And then the note gets posted again.
Hold on. I mean, I learned that happens.
You know, like, oh, no.
Dude,
your first no one.
Yeah, and it's funny people were talking because I was thinking this morning. So this is what I feel like I'm in system alert or something. You know, like okay. So in the way I have it set up, like my heart has given me the best chance at meditation and recording it with me. I have my phone, which can be my timer. I have my recorder, which I can watch through, reach over and get it. And I wake up in the morning into so much paralysis that I can't even reach the recorder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seems like you might be where I'm pointing at. And it's pretty astounding to me. Like, I think the best I can do is start the daily recollection right here.
Uh-huh.
And so I just started.
Yeah.
And about into it, it's like, okay, now I can kind of push up
mm-hmm.
and slide under the cushion
yeah.
and sit.
Uh-huh.
And then, okay, when I get done,
uh-huh.
I sometimes can reach over and get the thing
uh-huh.
and push the button.
Uh-huh.
And I remember feeling that way when I painted this room.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, first, there was all this stuff about some footage, just exactly the same. You know, I like the brown walls. I don't want to put fire on them. So it would start that way. And then it would be like, well, and I don't like the smell of paint. You know, I think this is toxic. And I'm not really a painter, and I don't really like the job. And I totally remember feeling that way of, am I going to make it through the work period? Mm-hmm. After all the self-hate and the stories were gone, I was just left with this incredible sensation of, I can't move. Mm-hmm. I totally remember the ladder, and it was a little ladder, and I remember, so there was no fear. I mean, other things here, like I was afraid. I was not afraid of this, but there was a heaviness to it, like a paralysis, like, I can't do it. But in that sense of this work period, and it wasn't a long one, it was the afternoon one, which at that time was maybe 1:30 or 4:30 or something, so it wasn't super long. Mm-hmm. But I continued to be, and then I can pinpoint those times in my life when I have had to do, when I transitioned with something. And it's just amazing to me how I know it's going to pass. The thing inside is going to pass.
Right.
I remember watering the windowsill the first day I came here, and I was in hell. And then the last day, for some fluke, life gave me the same thing. I walked home, and I was happier than I ever been in my life.
Right.
So it's not about the, it's not the content.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's amazing to me how you know, the paralysis that can happen. Like, I really, I know everything I need to know, and still.
So it's just amazing to you that, so in the case of the recorder and the long therapist, alarm, that you know what will take care of Susan. You know what will assist you with this. And yet, wake up in the morning, and it's amazing how there's just that paralysis where it feels like you can't even reach over and press the button. So instead, you do what you can do.
Right, and then I get judged for it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is a lame Zen student thing to do. You know, if you're the good Zen student, you set your alarm for 4:30,
yeah,
and you do what I did a few months ago, and, you know, we know that works, yeah, and you sit.
Or put it on the show list, like we were looking at earlier with Renee.
Yeah, I know, I was looking at it with Renee, and I could feel myself going, I have no idea how to do that. How to do what she was describing, you know, to put it on the should list. I mean, I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Well, so in other words, here's the thing that really takes care of Susan, and how is conditioning going to take that away? Well, it's going to talk to you about, like, come on, if you were the right time student, you would be doing this, and you would be doing that, and remember how you used to, and blah, blah, blah. Which what we can know is that voice is completely not on your side, right? And the way we can know that is you would never say that to someone else. Well, come on,
right.
You need to just da da da, and why can't you just press record? I mean, what's the problem here? You would never take that approach with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really our, it's our secret weapon. Yeah, so there you are about to, you know, with the assignment to paint the meditation hall, or to wake up in the morning and reach for the recorder. How would you be with someone who you love in that situation, who is having that go on, for whatever reason, whether there's a logical, you know, explanation for it or not, that is the experience they're having. Okay, let's start staying with them. Right? Instead of starting with, why is it that way, and it shouldn't be that way, and that's crazy, and okay, but it is. It is what we've got. And so if we take the largest practice principle, there's nothing wrong, okay, so if there's nothing wrong with that, now where are we? Right?
Yeah, it's a little different way of being.
A little different way of being.
We want a lot more cheering.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I was picturing too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And like, kind of,
Exactly. And even like playing games with it. You know, so I don't know if you have a clock that you can see, but you wake up and you roll over and you see what time it is. Okay. You know, whatever it is.
It's early, yeah.
5:18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long is it going to be until we reach the recorder? It was 5:45. Okay. So that was, you know, that was many minutes that was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tomorrow. 5:20. And just play a game with it. Just see. Right? To not take it so seriously. To not think it means all these things that it means. But just to begin to do anything to start experimenting with it, mm-hmm. moving the pieces around, what is this, what is that, what is...
So, you know, it's so astounding to me how ego takes that which is most important. Yeah. You know, it's really sad.
Well, how else is it going to get us? Mm-hmm. Especially at this level of practice. It's not going to work to take away the things that are easy for you to practice with, because you're just going to go, it's going to roll right past you. So it has to go over the things that are important to us.
And use them.
Mm-hmm. It's brutal. It's brutal. And to get to that place where it's not okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get to do that. Right? In the same way, you know, it's especially easy with vulnerable, like young kids or animals or that sort of thing. No. No, you don't get to treat him or her that way. You don't get to do that. Same thing with Guru. You don't get to treat her that way. You know, whether she picks up the report or she doesn't, when that happens, how that happens, no. There's no excuse for something, ever.
I was struck by the spirit of offering, and what Rose, so I was thinking about was, that what we're offering is offering.
And offering yourself is the offering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what a different place that is to come from. And that was just a helpful helpful to see. What we're offering is a process of offering. The content truly is irrelevant.
And,
I was in that same meeting that was referred to, and I remember there was a list of things to be tasked. There was part of me was saying, well, I can do that, and I can do that, and I can do that. You know, picking out the ones I can already do. Right. I can do that.
Penny
can do that. Penny can do that. And how, you know, very self-conscious and limiting, and it's an automatic process. I mean, mm-hmm. I wasn't aware at the time that I was really doing that. I just caught it later.
Yeah.
And then later also. These various groups had to report back, and I had taken notes of the one group I was in. And so the facilitator said, "So what group will step up and go first?" And so I just said, "Well, I'll go." And what it was there was no self-consciousness, you know.
Yeah.
And the contrast is just interesting,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
The very limited one who said, "I can do that," and "I can do that," and the one for whom that question never arose.
Right.
What different choices to be?
So huge.
So huge, yeah.
Yeah.
And the image that came when I was thinking about offering is the image that was raised the other night, a group of someone talking about coming out, and at the end of the porch are the two dogs, you know.
Uh-huh.
So there's Pache with his Victorian collar.
So one of the dogs having a research service.
Well, it's beeping.
So
they have
to wear the don't lick it collar.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the other dog, and they're both like this, you know.
Well,
and what I thought was, it's like a definition of whatever, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
And that's offering, you know,
yeah.
It's just offering whatever.
Yeah.
And what a place to live life from, boy.
Yeah. It's such a fun place.
Such a fun place to live life from, yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's funny because it seems like choosing what I like and what I'm good at, that's what's going to be good for me, but it isn't. That place is like, really, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then we could get taken in any direction.
Any direction. And learn to love it.
And learn to love it. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people talking about early days here, and I remember early days here,
mm-hmm.
and all the various work assignments. And I remember saying, it's all okay as long as they don't ask me to chainsaw. And the next day, the work director was like, and what you're going to do today is chainsaw. And I remember saying to the man who taught me, I said, I'm so terrified of this. He said, why? And I said, because I have this image that the chain would break and fly off and like wrap around me and cut me off. I have this clear image of being sliced in multiple pieces by a chainsaw. And he just said, I've never seen that happen.
Yeah.
He didn't say, oh, you poor thing, we won't have you do it. He just said,
or, that's a stupid thing to say.
No, no, not at all. Yeah. Never seen that happen.
Yeah.
And it was the most calming thing. And then I ended up chainsawing the whole West End road, you know?
Yeah.
And I actually loved the chainsaw. So it was a wonderful, I mean, as people say, when you're after
you're
there.
And mm-hmm. then she's just completely excited. And I actually love the chainsaw, so anyway. Right? But we forget that.
We forget that.
So many of the things that we were terrified of are things that we love now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So what it, the situation, the meeting the other day, was is setting up a whole series of activities. And what I'm seeing is to bring to that, not the this is what I can do, but the offering to offer.
Yeah.
And just see what happens.
Yes, offering to offer. And that everything is a beneficiary of that, especially us.
Yeah, and keep those dogs in mind.
Yeah.
And when they ask for volunteers, just think about those little dogs. And
exactly.
Put myself there.
I always think about that. When they sound asleep, you know, maybe even snoring, and knowing that if I stood up, she would go,
we're going to
work.
We're
going to work. Exactly.
I'm so extremely grateful about all your sharing that light me, that bring me like, okay, I can really connect with that and what you were saying,
mm-hmm.
and that brings me so much clarification
mm-hmm.
into what I'm right now. Few weeks ago, I was just putting up this workshop in Sonora, and I was like totally investing so many hours
mm-hmm.
into that research, and I was feeling myself, oh, I really wanted to provide this,
mm-hmm.
and I was just, at some point, I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed with so much information, and I said, you know what, I want to make it simple. I don't want to overwhelm them, and I want to offer them. In the world, when you just say offering, I even came into my meditation and speak to the Holy Spirit to say, please guide me to do that. Guide me to do that, and every time I came back to my meditation in the morning I feel my heart just really opening with love.
Mm-hmm.
And right now that somebody says it's just given like an offering, and I just remember in the present day before the workshop, I was like, okay, I'm afraid because I don't know what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I put my heart into that. So the workshop, it was marvelous. It was amazing. And I feel like, oh my God, it was like I removed myself from the ego.
Yeah.
I was not even like, okay, it was just my heart extending to that people. And I said, okay, and I feel like really happy. I was like, okay, it's not because of my ego, it's
mm-hmm.
because I was there completely.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I have that strength to say, hey, I was thinking, no, what if I'm not good at it? At the very beginning, and I hear you, like, okay, I don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I offer this workshop for this coming week at the place that I'm teaching downtown. And I know this is going to be a little bit more difficult, but I said, hey, you know what? I already got the answer. I'm just like, oh, offer it. And I said, okay, set myself out of the ego and say, you know, that because I already know that is what I'm giving is precious.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to remove myself from the ego because I feel like, okay, I'm panicking a little bit because I haven't had the response,
mm-hmm.
the same response that I have in Sonora.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, hey, you know what? It is okay.
Yeah.
If one person or two persons show up,
yeah.
I'll be like totally grateful mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah.
And just be okay.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is amazing. What you just taught me? It was so amazing. So I feel like, okay, this is it. What I need to do only is just keep consistent on my offering. Just be confident in my practice, on my meditation, everything. Not expecting too much of myself. Just do it whatever I had to do. So I was like, okay, I already got the answer, so thank you for
that. Because what you're describing is so beautiful. It's the process of getting out of the way, right? So I love how you talked earlier about the simplicity of it, right? Because from a conditioned perspective, there's that sense of, all right, I'm offering this workshop. What's the really cool, great, exciting, fun, whatever it is, thing that I can provide? And then, because it sounds like you realize, gosh, I just want to be coming from that heart place. I just want to offer to whoever shows up, you know, this experience. What drops in is, just keep it simple, mm-hmm. right? And then in that process, ego is taken out of the way, mm-hmm. and life, and all the way full circle back to our first discussion, life is able to express itself uniquely through the bond to offer this workshop in this marvelous way that it does. And it sounds like, from what you're describing, mm-hmm. you're a recipient of that. I mean, yes, you're the one maybe in the front of the room, you know, doing the quote teaching, but in a way, when we're in that place, we're receiving as much, if not more, as everyone else in the situation.
Por aquí.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you all.